So we're in Matthew chapter 27. I want to start reading here at verse 15. So what I'm going to read is talking about when our Lord died on the cross. If you think about it, this almost 2,000 years ago, our Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary. And I want you to see that as we go through this account. It's kind of a reminder to us of what Jesus did for us, that you and I could be forgiven of our sins. So if you're following along, it's in Matthew chapter 27, and starting in verse 15. Now at the feast, a governor was brought to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. I always say that name wrong. Did I say it right? Barabbas is his name. Yeah. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, "Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ?" For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man, for I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." So if you think about this, here was Pilate probably thinking, this is an easy way, this is an easy win for me, make everyone happy that's here, and especially make my wife happy, because she's saying, you know, there is something about this man, even though she didn't know who Jesus was or didn't know of him. She was like, she suffered a lot in her dreams, you know, and things that was probably, we don't know everything she went through. And she told her husband, was like, please just release this man. Please don't do that. Right. And you think about it, most husbands, we do like to please our wives. And I can imagine here was a man of authority that had the authority to do that. So I'm sure in his mind, he was like, oh, I'm surely going to release him. And he was probably thinking, this would be an easy one. Who would you rather have, Jesus or Barabbas? And Barabbas is the one that, you know, caused problems, had murder, did these things, you know. Who would you rather have? And he probably thought in his mind that, you know, this would be an easy one. I know the outcome of this. My wife will be happy. The people will be happy. And, you know, everyone will look at me as how great I am, you know, maybe in his pride. But the Bible says, "And the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should as Barabbas and destroy Jesus." Can I tell you, think about that, how wicked these people are or were, that they hated Jesus Christ. I mean, our Lord Jesus Christ, I mean, he was sinless. He was God in the flesh. He loved those people. And I also want you to think about this multitude that was there. There were those in that multitude that was blessed because of Jesus Christ. They maybe experienced healings themselves. Maybe they were a part of the group that were fed of the 5,000 or the 4,000. Maybe they had a relative. I can almost guarantee you in this multitude that was there that almost every single person, if not every single person, was touched by Jesus in some way. Because if you think about it, even in their life, I mean, they're you can find anyone that's in this town, and somehow we would somehow know those people, right? It may be through Elma and Elma's friend or whatever, but somehow we know. And here it is. I mean, Jesus was here. These people weren't ignorant of what Jesus was doing, but it's amazing. What was it? Crucify, destroy Jesus. People are so, unfortunately, easy to be persuaded. The governor answered and said unto them, "Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said unto them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" And they say unto him, "Let him be crucified." And the governor said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they cried out the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." You see the hatred that these people had in their heart for our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you remember all these things, so if you look at it just from a human standpoint of what's going on, it doesn't make sense. But when you look at it of the reason, it was our Lord Jesus Christ. See, what we're seeing in our world is saying people love sin and hate righteousness. And we're seeing it more and more play out in our society. People will reject Jesus Christ because of their sin. They love their sin. And because they love their sin, they hate righteousness. And it's the same, chief priests and scribes, they love their sin more they love righteousness. And the Bible says, and the governor said, "Why, what evil has he done?" But they cried out the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a trump was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it." Well, the reality is this. No, you weren't. Amen. He maybe did something symbolic to try to make it seem like it's not my fault that's here. But the reality is he had the authority. But the truth of the matter is, this is why Jesus came. Jesus came to die on the cross for our sins. And you can see here that even though the those in authority, or the person in authority, did not want to do it, we could see nothing was going to stop Jesus for being our Savior. Then the Bible says, "Then answered all the people and said, 'His blood be on us and on our children.'" Oh, could I tell you how foolish that is? They're pretty much saying, you know, we'll accept responsibility for that Jesus is dying. Oh, could I tell you, if you think about it, he died for them. Amen. I mean, really, it's foolishness. They were saying, you put that to our account. How foolish man is, how foolish sometimes people say things that they may not mean. It says, "Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had whipped Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified." Again, it's a little ironic when you think about it. He's saying he's a righteous man, he doesn't deserve to die, and then when they said, "All right, crucify him," he's like, "All right, allow him to be whipped." But what we see is our Lord had to suffer. He went through and he got beat. He was beat for us. The Bible says, "Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had planted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed a knee before him and mocked him, saying, 'Hail, King of the Jews.' And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head, and after that they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him, and put his own raiment on him, and led him away to crucify him." Now think about that just for a moment. So here it is, our Lord just got beat. He went through a mock trial. That trial wasn't a trial that would find who was just, because Jesus is just. So it was a mock trial. We see that these people here that hated him said to be crucified. Pilate gives it to the soldiers, and as he goes to those soldiers mock him, make fun of him, take his clothes off, put these garments on him, put these crown of thorns on him, bow down and just say, "Hail, King of the Jews," right? And they were just doing it mocking. Well, could I tell you, if those soldiers never repented and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, can I tell you one day they're going to stand before God and give an account, and they're going to bend a knee, not in mocking, but fear and trembling, realizing what they did almost 2,000 years ago, and they've been in hell. But they'll stand before him, will kneel before him and give an account, and they will say, "We are sorry. You are King of the Jews. You are the King of kings and Lord of lords." And then they'll be cast in the lake of fire. Can I tell you, the world may mock at Jesus Christ today. They may mock at Christianity. They may make fun of us. But I can tell you one thing. They may do it on this side, but they won't do it on the other side of heaven. Amen? There's coming a day where they will bow the knee. The Bible tells us that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And the Bible says in verse 32, "And as he was come out, he found a man of Cyrene, Simon, Simon by name, and him they compelled to bear his cross. So here it was, they told this person to have his cross afterwards. And if you remember that cross, when Jesus would take that cross, it was a picture, remember we just did that, of the Old Testament. I'm not going to pick that thing back up and carry it for you, but taking that animal, that priest would take that animal and take it outside of the camp and to that place of the burnt offering that would be. And that's what we see here. That's what Jesus is doing. He's going to take his cross and take it to that place of Calvary. The Bible says, and when they were come unto the place called Golgotha, that is say, a place of the skull. So again, Leviticus, what was it? The priest would take it to the place where the ashes were. So that's place of death. That's place, you know, I'm sure there was a skull or skulls there. So we could see all this, things in the Old Testament leading up to picture of this. They gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. That is a fulfillment of prophecy. When you go through and see these verses of our Lord Jesus Christ, what you see is prophecy after prophecy after prophecy being fulfilled. Matter of fact, you know, there's some these, I call them corrupt or perverse translations of the Bible, and they are not based on the correct manuscripts or the received manuscripts, or what they would define as the Textus Receptus. The reality is they take it from these corrupt texts and they change this word instead of vinegar and they say wine. And by them changing it to wine, you know what that means? In those Bibles, that Jesus can't be the Christ. Do you know why? Because he didn't fulfill prophecy. Because prophecy said what he would have to drink. And when you change words, so the reality is, if you think about it, people can go through and read those Bibles. Not saying people can't be saved from them. Some of them, I don't know. They've took so much out of it. You may not be able to. One of them makes God a she. So God's not in that one. But anyway, what I'm saying is, when you mess with Scripture, as they mess with Scripture, they're messing with the very words of God. God's not going to hold them lightly to that. But what also do we see? By them changing Scriptures, they have now made the Scripture lie. Well, they haven't. It was a translation that they did. But anyway, you can find that. Go and Google that, and you'll find it somewhere, I'm sure. And the Bible says, and they crucified him, parted his garments, casting lots, as it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there. Now, think about that for a second. Here it is. They fulfilled these scriptures. These Romans fulfilled the scriptures that was written many, many years ago that talked about how Jesus would die, talked about the different things that he would suffer, talked about in the book of Psalms that there would be people that would stare. People would say, hey, why don't you save yourself? And then people sat down and watched it. Can you imagine? That to me, I could not sit there and watch. How could you sit and watch someone be crucified and die? I'm telling you, I cannot imagine that. The Bible says, and set over his head, this acquisition written, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. And there were two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and build it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Isn't that interesting? They mention these words. Well, the reality is this. They take the scriptures out of contents. He wasn't speaking about the temple. He was speaking about his body. And the reality is what he was talking about was that he would die, be buried, and the third day, it would be early Sunday morning, they would rise again from the dead. But what was it? They took the scripture or his words that they said and twisted around to try to justify something. But they were mocking him. Do you know Jesus could have came down from that cross? He could have. He's God. Matter of fact, he could have just spoke the word. And the reality is every single person that was there could have died. I mean, he's God. The reason he didn't come down from the cross is because he had to be our sacrifice. And I'm so thankful that Jesus went through all these things. Let me ask you, if you knew that you would have to go through some of these things, would you do it? The reality is, most of us, if you had to go through these things for a family member, you know, it may be possible that some, there would be some here that would say, you know, for a family member, I'll go through torment or whatever because I love that family member so much. But would you do it for an enemy? Would you be willing to do this for an enemy to suffer the shame? Be beaten, be spit upon, put a crown on your head. As men, do you think about having a beard being pulled out? Would you go through all that? Being betrayed by someone, knowing that it was going to happen. Most of us, I think, if not all of us, would say, I would not do that for an enemy. Well, the reality is, we were enemy to God. And he did it for you and me. Matter of fact, he even told him, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. When you think about it, God loves you. God knew what they were going to do. God knew they were going to beat him. God knew they were going to spit on him. God knew they were going to put that crown of thorns on him. And he took it because he loves you and me. I mean, he literally was beaten and died for our sins. The Bible says here, verse 41, likewise also the chief priests mocking him and the scribes and the elders said, he saved others himself, he cannot save. Well, the reality is he died so that way he could save all. If he be king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. No, you wouldn't. They're lying. Can I tell you, there's a lot of people that speaks that way. We know in the book of Luke, where the rich man that was in hell told Abraham, if you allowed one to rise from the dead, that I would believe. And you think about what would be more proof that he's the Son of God. If he came down from the cross, which is possible, right? You think about that is possible. If you're on the cross, there could be a possibility, there could be a way that somehow you pull out your hand from the nail that's there. It's possible, right? There could be some way that you pull it out and you get down. It's possible. That could happen. You had someone else pull you down, right? Or someone else help you to get off the cross. That is a possibility. But it is impossible for you to rise from the dead. Can I tell you, if Jesus came down from the cross, they would have found some reason to say they didn't nail him right. They would have said the cross wasn't strong enough. It was just a coincidence. Maybe the wind blew at that time and it knocked you over. You're not the Son of God. But can I tell you, he arose from the dead, which is an impossibility, something that you and I cannot do. It's possible that we could somehow come off of a cross, if it makes sense. But it is impossible for us to rise on our own from the dead. And he did something that's impossible, and they still didn't believe him. Folks, can I tell you, he is the Savior of the world. Praise the Lord that he loved us, and praise the Lord, he's not like us. Amen. The Bible tells us, where are we at? Verse 44, the thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in their teeth. Just think about that, about those two thieves that were dying on the cross with Jesus. At the beginning, they both railed on him, and over time in the book of Luke, it tells us that one of them looked to the other guy and said, hey, we deserve this, but this guy has done nothing amiss. He doesn't deserve to die like he is. And he told him, he says, Lord, remember me when I enter into thy paradise, I think it was. And remember me, I think it was, remember me, I'm forgetting. Old and forgetful sometimes. Remember me when thou cometh into thy kingdom. There it is. So anyway, he said that. What was he doing? He placed his faith in Jesus Christ. He knew that he was a sinner, knew he couldn't save himself. He believed that Jesus would die. Think about this. And he believed that Jesus would arise from the dead. You don't talk about faith. When thou comest into thy kingdom. Miss Elma, that tells you that that man knew that Jesus, even though he was dying, was going to have a kingdom. That means he knew that he would rise from the dead. Did you catch that? He knew it. Can I tell you, that man got saved that day, and Jesus even said so. Amen? It doesn't matter what you have done. Maybe you have blasphemed the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you had made fun of him. Maybe you lied about him. Maybe you said that he's a sinner. Can I tell you, he can still forgive you. He's willing to forgive you. But you have to do it when you're still alive. Anyway, we get into verse 45. Now about the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was a fulfillment of prophecy from the book of Psalms. What is that? The sin of the world was placed on our Lord Jesus Christ. Your sin was placed on him. My sin was placed on him. The sin of the world. And what happened? God the Father turns his back to God the Son because he's holy. Here is, you think about Jesus was God in the flesh, but he was also man. And that's what he's saying here because he realized what happened. And some of them that stood there when they heard that said, this man calleth for he saith. And straightway one of them ran and took the sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. And the rest said, let be, let us see whether Esaias will come to save him. Jesus, when he cried again with a loud voice, we know in the book of John or the book of Luke, I think it's in the book of John, he cried with a loud voice and said, it is finished. Imagine the multitude that was there that day, that the people that were sitting down staring at him and watching him that's there, and they heard the thief say those words maybe to Jesus and say that he knew he was going into his kingdom. Matter of fact, there was a centurion that was standing over watching Jesus. He was on guard and watching, and he heard those words in his ears that would ring, it is finished! And he saw something he has never seen before. He saw probably a lot of crucifixion, but he'd never seen one like this where Jesus gave up the ghost, right? He talked about, into my hands I commend my spirit. I think that was the words that he said. And he said that and he died. And that centurion was just like, I have never seen that before. And matter of fact, the Bible says that after he arose from the dead, that centurion that saw Jesus die, say those words and gone through everything, he said, I'll testify. Think about that, because now he is a Roman soldier and those Jewish people that were there, he said, I'll testify and tell you that he was the Son of God. I mean, it was a testimony that was there. Matter of fact, you can see that down at verse 54. I'll jump down there. And when the centurion and they which were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake, that means after he arose, and those things that were done, they greatly feared, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Amen. Can I tell you, they realize, even though Jesus suffered and went through this horrible death, can I tell you, he was still drawing people to him in his life, in his death, when he arose. Can I tell you, Jesus is still doing the same today. He's drawing people to him. Amen. But you think about it, Jesus went through all this suffering and pain because he loves you. Because he loves me. And you know, sometimes in our life as believers, it's not that we forget what Jesus did for us. It's not that, you know, we don't think about what Jesus did for us. But unfortunately, at times in our life, we lose focus. We lose focus of why God still has you and me here today. There's a reason, a purpose. The reason God has not taken you home yet to heaven, those that are believers, because he wants to use your life to bring glory to him. There is someone that you know in your family that you can reach. And God allowed you to stay here to try to reach them. There's people in your family. Well,
my family.
Right. But there's people in your family that I probably can't reach. But you can. Don't lose focus of why God still has you and me here. Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sin debt, was buried and rose again, that you and I could have eternal life, that you and I could be forgiven. Don't lose focus on living for Him. Whatever time God allows us to live, allow Him to be your priority. You know, I hit the big 5-0. I feel like I'm 7-0, amen? But I hit the big 5-0. And I think when I hit 5-0, sometimes my brain has pondered and thought about, I'm old, you know? And some of you are probably laughing and thinking that you're older than me. But I sit there and I've been pondering and, you know, sometimes think about, you know, what have I done for Christ? And sometimes I've been thinking, how much time do I have left for Christ? Because I really don't know. You know, this could be my last year that I have to serve God. You know, this could be the year of the rapture. It could be the year of my death. I could die. And what we need to remember is when Jesus died for us and He gave us eternal life, we need to stay focused on living for Him. Stay focused. Whatever time God has allowed you to have remaining, will you be willing to live for Jesus? He gave everything for us. The least we can do is to live for Him. And the second thing I want you to think about, would you be willing to surrender? Look what the Bible says over here to Romans chapter 12. In Romans chapter 12. So stay focused, living for Him. And the second thing I want you to think about is to surrender. To surrender your will to His. As the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. God is not asking you to do something that's unreasonable. He's asking you just to surrender, to live for Him, to live a holy life, one that's acceptable to God. You know, not what's acceptable to the world. I'll tell you, this world has no idea about more modesty. They don't know anything about being godly or righteous. Find out what God says from His Word. Amen. And then He says, be not conformed to the world, right? Don't be surrendered to the world, following the world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So surrender your will to God's. What is God's will for you? Whatever time you have left, are you surrendered? Are you willing to say, I am born again and I just want to live for Jesus, and it's His will, not my will? And lastly, look over here to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 2. I'm almost done. Galatians chapter 2. So stay focused on living for the Lord. Surrender your will to His. And lastly, be a servant. Be a servant for the Lord. And the Bible says in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. What was he saying? Jesus died for me and paid for my sin debt. I am been set free. I am forgiven. He says, however, I have life. I'm still living. He says, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Talk about be a servant for the cause of Christ. Be a servant. What is it that you can do for God? What talents do you have that you can use for God? You think about in the local church, there's different ways that you can use your talents. Some people are very good with kids, and they love kids. You can use your talents to try to teach boys and girls about Jesus. That's not easy to do. Sometimes it'll make you feel like pulling your hair out. Sometimes it'll make you think, I want to quit, don't want to do it. But just keep on remembering what Jesus went through for us. But be a servant. There's things to do in the church. Maybe cleaning or decorating. Helping out with the offering. And I know little Wyatt does that, taking up the offering. You know, that's being a servant. There's things outside the church, as you know, cutting the grass and getting things taken care of, or things even to fix up. But we all could be a witness. We all can tell people, but to be a servant. So when you think about almost 2,000 years ago, when Jesus died on the cross for our sins, he paid all our sin debt, paid in full. So that means because you accept him as your Savior, when you die, you'll be in heaven. Praise the Lord. What a blessing that is. Why not use the rest of your time on this earth to give him glory and thank him for what he's done for you? Father, I hope and pray tonight, Lord, as we think back to what you have done for us on Calvary, Lord, to be a reminder to us to stay focused, to live for you, set example to others, to be a testimony, that people would see it in our lives, that people would hear with our words. And Lord, that our will would be your will. Lord, that we'd be a servant to the cause of Christ, that we would be surrendered and allow you to live and work through us. Help us to be that way. I pray that you give us safety as we travel home. We ask these things in Jesus, your precious name. Amen.